greater metropolitan Portland area and surrounding cities and suburbs. The Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
First and foremost, I am a performer. I take command of the stage. I take control of the show and give everybody a good time.
Storm, did it freak you out to be the first performer tonight?
I like being first. I am unafraid.
Today's Thursday. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from the studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Said studios being plushly appointed yet not really utterly ostentatious. It is 1 minute and 38 seconds. After the hour of 11, and it's the month of September in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by. Live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, my friends, it is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you'd like to engage with us electronically. It is rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. Now then, what shall we talk about? Oh, goddamn. All right, just so I can put a smile on everybody's face just for a second here. Say, again, is my computer up? He's dropped there for just a second. Let me just give you a little. Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? All right, there, guys. You know, I'm going to start everything off on such a moribund note. All right, thank you for coming by. It is Thursday, and welcome to day 12. That was one of our... I do believe that was one of the entries that is just... The guy resent it to me because I think the attachment inadvertently got deleted when he emailed it in the first time. I got two or three different entries that we didn't get to yesterday. We'll find a way to squeeze them in today. It just seems right somehow. Here's the best part. The very best part about the whole thing is not only do I have to pay $600 goddamn dollars to go down and clap for... What is with those crutches she had last night? The only good thing about the crutches was that I was hoping that the stage lights might actually set them on fire. It didn't happen. It didn't stop me from wishing and praying and hoping and thinking and dreaming, kids.
Maybe she was one of Jerry's kids.
Davey's kids?
Yeah.
Dave Navarro. The best part about this is... He said, not only do I have to pay $600 to go down... And you know they're going to stick me way in the back, too, where I won't even be able to hit her with anything. I was having visions of my... You know, because... Not that I'm advocating that you do this. I'm just saying, you know, a 9-volt battery, you can throw one of those things pretty far and with a great deal of accuracy. As any attendee to a sporting event in like a ball stadium can tell you. The best part is that not only did we get to see Storm eliminated last night, but I got to see Delana murder one of my all-time favorite songs. Just as, you know what it is? Just like a little extra scrotal squeeze from the Lord himself. Sort of like there you go.
That was embarrassing to watch. I can't believe that she is still there. And with the dancing, oh my God.
Here's the single best, and by best I mean gut-wrenchingly horrifying moment last night, is when Delana, and I'm laughing about it now because it's so goddamn retarded, there's just nowhere to... I was bummed out all last night. And Sarah and I talked about this last night. I mean, maybe all kinds of people who think it's dumb or think it's stupid or think it's whatever. And I'm aware that it's a television show and a reality show at that. But you know what? As dumb as it sounds, I went home last night. I felt all worked over last night. I went home last night. I felt like someone had just rammed me right in the gut. It really was. And I think that's true for a lot of people. I didn't sleep last night much at all either because I kept having goddamn rock star supernova
last
dreams.
Night.
I just... And the sound looping in my head last night, it was just that... What was that thing that Delana did during the Cheap Trick where it was like a lot of baby, baby, let it be? It was just sort of like a Gila monster right into the camera. God damn, it was terrible. It was so bad.
It was bad beyond. If you haven't heard.
If you haven't heard Delana murdering a Cheap Trick song, you haven't heard.
We'll play it later because it really is. It is so bad, it's beyond my ability to describe it.
Maybe the votes are being counted in Florida.
Catherine Harris back in power, baby. Don't rule it out. It's so bad that there is. It's not only one of the worst songs that's ever been performed. Delana singing that Cheap Trick song last night was actually one of the worst types of noise ever created anywhere by anything. It was off the charts terrible. And here's the thing is, I knew it was coming. I knew because we were not spoiler free. And we didn't talk about it during the show yesterday. But if you, I would say we went to Dante's last night. And we'll do a full recap. We'll do a rock star recap at 1 o'clock. We'll do the whole thing. But we'll talk about it a little bit. I mean, the whole day is going to be, it's going to be woven through today's show like so much pink thread through the hair of a pony. But.
I'm trying to visualize.
sometimes those analogies, it's sort of like God just puts them in my head and I don't really know where they come from.
That sounds
from.
Like something Dan Rather would have done to sign off the CBS News back in his day.
Well, you know, if a frog had side pockets, he'd carry a handgun, Ted. That's right, Dan. You're high. So we will, it's going to be spread out through the show and whatnot, but I, if you listened to yesterday's program, if you heard us talking about Rockstar Supernova, because yesterday being Wednesday, we did the recap of Tuesday's show, and Kristen was on, and I got to tell you, by the time we did the Rockstar recap yesterday, everybody here, everybody on our end, knew the outcome. Tim knew, Sarah knew. Sarah knew, first of all. Sarah got the word at like 12:03 yesterday. And actually, Sarah, and you say, here's the thing, and you didn't tell me. But it's like, as we've said, it's like all over your face. You had it all over you like yesterday. Because it was right about, I don't know, an hour from now yesterday. It was like 12:05. And you got like a text message or an instant message. So you got some sort of new age communique from somebody, whoever it is. And Sarah's got her own sort of a deep throat in the rock star world. And she looks over and you didn't even say anything. You just kind of gave me a look. And then I looked at you and then you just kind of went back to typing sadly. And then about half an hour later, like, do you want to know? And I said, nah, I already know. I know it all. Because it was so plain just looking at you yesterday. So we went through all of yesterday. We went through all of yesterday kind of knowing the deal and knowing what was coming. I didn't know who was going to sing what, but we knew that Storm got booted off. Mm-hmm. And we did a very good job. We made a decision early on not to mention it, not to talk about it. For a couple reasons. Because there's always the one in a billion chance that the spoiler is wrong, which we knew wasn't really the case. But, yeah, you know, who knows? Stranger things have happened.
And we didn't want to ruin it for children.
Well, that's the other thing. And why not give everybody else like another 9 hours of happiness before their dreams are crushed underneath the hobnailed boot of Dave Navarro?
There ain't no Santa Claus.
That's true.
So we were just kidding about that, Mom.
You were an accident. Daddy was drunk. If it had been 73 instead of 72, plus, if we had revealed it at the beginning of yesterday's program, and the only reason I say this is because I don't want people to think that we were just withholding info to be a-holes. If we had revealed at the beginning of yesterday's program, it would have put everybody in a very awkward position of spending all yesterday talking about something that no one had seen. And so we were just like, screw it. And when Kristen came on to do the recap yesterday, you will notice that we very carefully just glossed over the, here's what we didn't do yesterday during the recap. We did not do this. We didn't go around the room, as is usually our wont, to go, so, predictions, anyone? Because that just would have been morbid and strange. So we went to Dante's last night, and the chips fell where they may. And anyway, so we'll talk more about it. People are already calling about it. The amount of email about it today. And email just, these long, you know, these long sort of electronic. If these were real letters, they'd be stained with tears. So we'll get to some of those. We'll do a full recap later on in the day and so forth. Before we do anything else, let me see. Where's my sounder here? Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. A man who travels now with his own bevy and posse of beautiful women who follow his every step.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Welcome, Mara. Our good friend, Mailman Chris, how are you? You know what grates me about that is that it's the sound of the final body hitting at the very end. If you listen to that sounder, there's all kinds of carnage, and then you can actually hear one final corpse just hitting the ground. It's those kind of details that sell it. How are you, sir?
A little hungover and very well captain.
Well, dude, and it's like you can hear, I was fine. This is not like the cold coming back. But you know what? You can hear my voice. So who was it? Somebody grabbed me this morning and was like, hey, you sound in fine voice. And it really was, I don't think I'm sick anymore, but it was going to Dante's. And, of course, that makes you a smoker, whether you are or not. It was going to Dante's, and then it was screaming Delana is a whore at the top of my lungs for like an hour. And just, we lost last night at Dante's, and it was not the hugest crowd because I think, A, we haven't conditioned people to go on Wednesdays. B, I think everybody kind of knew the sad news, and a lot of people didn't want to be there. People just wanted to be at home with their puppies. But it was crowded, not packed, but it was crowded last night at Dante's. And we let all pretense of, like, of cordiality and decorum, I mean, it all just fell away last night. And it was just nonstop screaming at every moment. It was like, again, to use the most frequently used analogy this week, it was a lot like the snakes on a plane screening again last night, where every slack moment during that program, if someone was yelling for Delana to do something unnatural to herself, often with a member of her family or with some sort of object. And so that was happening all through last night's show. And so I'm kind of scraped a little raw today, both vocally and emotionally.
Well, or either that or we were yelling at the hack comedian that came
home. Oh, God damn. Don't even get me started. What was that guy's name?
Mustard Man Mike Kickle.
Mike Pickle?
K-I-K-L.
Kickle?
Mustard Man Mike Kickle?
Okay, let's go around the room. Does anybody know him or have a personal relationship to him?
Oh, no.
Scotty? No? All right. Sir, you're not funny and you should never be on stage again. Just never, ever, ever go on stage. Stay home. Do us all a favor, pal. There's nothing. First of all, everybody knows that I don't like comedians, and there are exceptions to that rule. But
you have to be a comedian to like comedians.
Well, you know, they're just terrible people. Comedians and stand-up comics. Again, there are
John
exceptions.
John Rickles is funny.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There are exceptions. There are people who we find funny. There are people who are original. There are people who whatever. But you know what? But in 90, I would say that if you were going to look at a type of entertainer and then assess what percentage of people in that field are terrible. With most people, it's what, 80%? 80% of most people in a given field are awful. Maybe in music, it's a little higher. In stand-up comedy, it's like 99.9%. I can count really on less than two hands the number of comics, and I'm saying ever of all time, professional and otherwise, that I really like or that I think are really great. I mean, if that, probably 8 or 9. This guy last night, though, and he was, and you know, and it's just all kinds of bad. And then there was some unpleasant heckling with Jen Lane. Jen Lane was there, and Jen Lane's a feisty girl. And so the guy came out and he was sucking. He was just terrible. And so Jen Lane unleashes with, it really is in a way the best of heckles, the worst of heckles. The guy's on stage going, so anyway. I just flew in, boy, my arm's tired, or whatever he said. And Jen Lane, you hear Jim in the back of the room, say something funny! Oh. And then it all went downhill. And then that guy responded with, like, hey, lady, don't be upset about your bad boob job. And then it was just, and then it was on, baby, as the kids say. Well, anyway, to that guy, you suck. Stay away from microphones and children. All right, okay, here's what's coming up today. We have Jim Roop, who's going to be joining us today. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. We're going to talk to Gary Baumgarten also. There's that new film, and I've been hearing about, I'm unclear, but this is the one with Reese Witherspoon? Maybe not. There's some film coming out about John Lennon's battle with the FBI. So Gary Baumgarten has got some stuff on that. Tim Riley, what watches have we today?
Just a moment, please. We have the Geek Watch and a Darwin Watch.
Geek Watch, Darwin Watch, and I will just say this about the news pile today. I was going through the news, and I was running a little late this morning. It was a very busy day. I overslept as well, and this is a long story. I ended up driving in because I got to play. You know, I got to be somewhere later. But the thing about it is, I need somebody to pin a note to my sleeve, like you do with a slightly off child, reminding him to eat or to perhaps change his underwear. I need a note pinned to my sleeve that tells me that even when I am running late, it is still faster to bicycle. Because I was running late this morning, and I'm like, well, I'm running late. I better take a vehicle. And then, of course, I get onto the Ross Island Bridge, and it's just a standstill. And it still would have been faster to bicycle.
You do this every time.
But I never remember. That's what I'm saying. This is my point, Sarah Dillon, is I need someone literally to tattoo it to my forehead that even when I'm late, it is always, always faster to bicycle. I mean, it defies logic, though, because you think you're running late, I need a car. But it's like, and of course, the more I'm running late, the closer it is to 9 o'clock, which means that the worse the traffic's going to be. And anyway. What else? Oh, and apparently, and just really quickly, let me...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Let me quickly bring Scotty J to the microphone. Hello, how are you, sir?
Really good. How are you?
All right. So there's one of those things that you'd mentioned to me like a year ago, and I sort of agreed to it. I just sort of grunted and went, yeah, and then like went back to work and wasn't really listening. So who's coming in at two? We have it's a guy, a kid. Who?
I believe his name is Tim.
And what? And who?
Better
is
double check too.
Tim, somebody. Rather,
there are already two Tims working for this company.
Seriously, we're Timmed out, baby.
We can totally have a Timnasium now. We can put them all.
We really should have a Timnasium where it's just a bunch of guys named Tim. this Tim who's coming in at 2 o'clock? Who is he?
Well, he's the gentleman that was looking into becoming a DJ and wanted to know about the different colleges around here.
There aren't any DJs anymore.
No.
Yeah. Did you just tell him to save it?
Well, that's what
just tell him to burn some money.
This is what he gets to find out today, I guess.
So he's, how old is he?
You know what? I have no idea. I'm going to guess he's probably, you know, maybe at a...
Maybe.
Yeah, he's 42, actually.
Is he a contemporary of yours?
With him, or you guys just been internet chatting?
Just kind of over the email and stuff like that.
Email.
I'm going to guess that he's somewhere in the, you know...
You have no
freshly
idea.
Out of high school.
You don't
stage,
know.
Because he's
you
going into college. That's
and he's
lived guess.
Does he live with his parents?
I'm going to go with probably.
Yeah.
Well, if he gets into the radio, he will for quite some time.
Seriously. Is he freakish in any way?
Not
a lot of people that want to get into radio are freaky.
Not that I can
scary.
Tell. I can
and they smell. And they drop off strange packages.
He sounds like he's full of a lot of ambition, kind of like I was once before I was beaten down on the Rick Emerson show.
Aww.
Fantastic. Job well job done, Rick Emerson. Well done.
And we gave him a room with two windows, which is two more than what we have.
Seriously, you bastard. All right, so he's coming in when? At 2?
2 o'clock. So,
all right.
Looking forward to that.
All right, and we still have to figure out what we're doing for news tomorrow. I know that you are Tim's first choice.
I'll leave you a bucket of it before I leave.
Okay, I'll have a bucket. All right, thank you, Scotty. All right, we got to, Chris, I don't even know if that really lays out what we're doing today, but there you go.
Well, I got Jim Roop, Lisa Goddard, Gary Baumgarten, the Geek Watch, the Darwin Watch. Tim is coming in, I guess, for job shadowing.
Sure.
And then Rock.
Yes, all right, there you go. All right, so thoughts about last night, Chris?
You know, I will say this, and I'll leave it at this.
Here we go.
I think your comments on your blog last night put it into perspective. I don't know if you'll read that.
I'm trying to wade through the... I'm just reading a lot of, like, super douchebag and sort of emails here. I just noted on the website last night that... All the, and we'll talk more about this, we'll talk in detail about this later, but all of the, everything last night spoke a lot, spoke volumes. The way the judges talked to her, the way the audience treated her, the expression on the faces of others as she was performing, the expression on Storm's face, by the way, also spoke a lot last night. And we'll have a Rockstar Supernova conspiracy corner, later on to talk about that. But, you know, but, I mean, you know, she went out on top, as they say, as much as that sounds like a cliche. You know, she went out, she was flawless to the end. And so, all right.
Well, it does sound cliched, but, you know, her performance of that song was not meant to save her ass.
No, you're right. No, that's
a rockin' song. She did what she wanted. She went out the way she wanted to go out.
And that's a really good observation, one that I hadn't really thought about. You're totally right about that, which is wish you were here, which is what she did. It would have been easy for her to do some huge throwdown Highway to Hell rocker or whatever that was just, but you're right. The wish you were here was totally led. That was clearly just something she wanted to sing. That was not a keep me on the show performance. You're totally right about that. No, that which doesn't mean it wasn't good, but it means yeah, it wasn't a this is here to bring the rock and crush it song.
You're 42.
Fantastic.
For the day, and here's a mnemonic to help you remember that about your bike and your car.
Okay.
A B C, always be cycling.
Fantastic. Well done, sir. Thank you, Chris.
Talk to you,
Chris. All right, there you go. This mailman, Chris, who was there last night. He is not on the front of the Oregonian today. Although some other people are not in the front, but in front of the living section. We're here today, as are we always, with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. It's a little cold in here again.
You got that coat back there. You should just put that on. It's kind of a Mary Richards kind of a thing.
Oh.
All right. So you did not. You were not at Dante's last night, but you did. You were doing like your soapbox thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so this is. But Sarah called me last night. It's all so awful, and we were just kind of being traumatized anew while we were watching it.
And then I called again for the crocodile hunter.
Totally. Oh yeah, because he did the. Yeah, because he did the thing. Because
yeah.
Toby did that. This is for my mate Steve. And then he pulled out the flag. He literally wrapped himself in a flag,
funnel style.
Yeah.
That was more than we could have ever dreamed.
It
for.
Was so great.
That's probably the first time anyone's ever seen an Australian flag.
No,
he hung it from his megaphone.
Time he's done it, yeah. He did it one time when he was all through the megaphone. It was literally draped over, like singing through the flag. That guy's, here's why he might win. And we will talk about that later on. Because, you know, I'll tell you right now. There's 1 week left, and you know what? Storm would have wanted it this way. We're just going to buckle down, and we're going to do it next week just like we've been doing it, and then it's over. So one way or the other, whoever wins, whoever goes home, next Tuesday and Wednesday, Wednesday and Thursday, I guess, we will do the Rockstar thing just like we've been doing it, because I think we're all just too invested now. Whoever wins, I think we're all too invested to let it go right now. So we're gonna, we'll continue this and we'll go all the way to the end of it next week. If for no other reason than I'm gonna be down there, this weekend, and so we gotta talk about that because I'll be at the taping of Tuesday's show. Tim Riley's working on the following story for you today.
Well, Storm Mars really doesn't need to ride somebody else's supernova to make it to the top.
Fantastic.
Harris Hilton gets busted for DUI. Ooh. A Huntington Beach man is found naked and covered with oats. And we'll take a look at the brand new manual of approved brand new interrogation techniques for terrorists.
Fantastic. Lisa Goddard's going to talk a little bit about that as well. By the way, if you look at the front of the Metro section, there is this article, and Rockstars pass over storm, blah, 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 blah. And the one thing that's notable about it is you can't see Mailman Chris, I believe, because he's right behind this woman in the front who's covering everything. But you can see our good friend Chris Boba Fett right here off to the left.
Oh.
If you know what you're looking for, that's him over there on the far left. He's sort of obscured, but you can spot that's him.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And I believe that's Chris's, Mailman Chris's
yep.
sister-in-law right next to him.
No, that's Chris's wife.
I did, because his wife and his wife's sister were both there. And it's a little out of focus. I can't quite tell who it is. All right. Well, anyway, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So that's what's coming up later on. We'll have some sort of broadcasting student. Guy in here, and what's it? And Gary Baumgarten and all of that. Don't go anywhere. Let's just take a break here, shall we? Like 24, 25. Come back with Lisa Goddard to talk about torture techniques. Later on, Rockstar recap from last night. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It is the Tim Riley program. I'm just trying
it
to
It totally is.
It kind of is. I'm really just the steak knives. It's the Rick Emerson radio show. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, speaking of radio correspondent Jim Roop, and we'll do our Rockstar recap as well. Are those Goldfish crackers?
Yes, they're so good.
Are they the white cheddar or the original?
Well, because today I get all these free lunches. So I can't stop eating right now, of course, since we're going out to CBS lunch,
yeah.
That free dinner thing tonight.
Yeah, it's good times.
I'm a piggy.
All right. No, they have this. I'm a sucker for anything that has white cheddar. Now, see, I can't. The original, regular cheese crackers are just sort of, they're off-putting to me in some way. Like a Cheez-It? Like I can't, but you know, here's the thing. Here's how you can get me to buy anything. You can coat it in white cheddar. If you put white cheddar flavoring, I don't matter what it's
done. Oh, like Annie's macaroni and cheese?
We are falling. Didn't we just do like a whole hour on this the other day
about
macaroni
trashy.
And cheese? No, but here's the thing is that Annie's macaroni and cheese, is great. I mean, and they try to market it as being some sort of healthy, hippie alternative, but it's really
more
just
calories
crap.
Than craft.
Totally, and it's just, yeah, it's just crap in a box. But if you cover it in white cheddar, I would totally buy. Here's what let me just tell you this, and then we'll go to Lisa Goddard here before I just embarrass myself further. But let me say, I'm a total impulse buyer, and this is why I violate all of the rules that they teach you in consumer economics about you know, like, don't shop on an empty stomach, avoid impulse buys and those end-of-aisle displays where it's like, you know, close out, 3 for 1. You know, buy another 20% more, and it's always like 20% more of 3 for 1 of crap that you don't really need in the first place. And so they actually... The Cheez-Its folks have done what the marketers would call line extension, which is to take a brand name from one item and slap it onto something else. So it's like when the, you know, if you're a big fan of whatever, and then they like Pop-Tarts, and then they make a Pop-Tarts flavored cereal. That is line extension. Cheez-Its are a cracker I avoid because they are repellent and not a godly food in any way. They're bad. And so, but the Cheez-Its folks have started marketing their own brand of spray cheese, and it's a white cheddar spray cheese.
Oh.
And man, I gotta tell you. I were going to tell you, but I took it home and I got it. And there's really nothing worse than taking a risk on a product and you get home and it's just ass. It's just, I got about a third of the way through that can of white. And this is something that anybody else would know, right? You all are listening to me describe white cheddar cheese and spray cheese and you know it's terrible. But of course, I'm a sucker. And so I bought it and I got like a third of the way into that and it's just. It's terrible, and then you do that horrible slow turning of the can to look at the calorie count, and you realize that you've just consumed 800 calories worth of something that you don't even really enjoy in about 7 minutes. And then I finished the can anyway. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson. Thank you. See, now we go back to the class and sophistication section of our broadcast. Lisa Goddard from The Hill. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. How's your head cold coming along?
I'm working on it. I'm trying to, you know, trying to really develop it.
All right. My advice to you would be to drink heavily over the next few days.
You can do that.
Okay. Well, so you're in D.C. Doesn't that come with it? Isn't there like a 3-drink minimum in that town anyway?
Yeah, I think there used to be. I don't know what the deal is right now. I don't know. All the lobbyists have kind of gone undercover for a couple of months, so... There's more booze on the shelves, I think.
Let me ask you this question before we talk about this. This is sort of a... We'll follow up on something that you actually had yesterday, sort of a breaking story, which is this the detention and the secret, the prisons and the alternative interrogation. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But speaking of drinking, I do have this question. Because I am sort of a low-grade political junkie in a lot of ways. And as such... I've spent incalculable hours sitting on a sofa somewhere watching political documentaries or films or, you know, like,
right,
you know, watching.
You're quoting Aaron Sorkin on a daily basis at this point. I think that's beyond low grade.
It's what I do. And there's this great, documentary, which you have probably seen called The War Room, which is about the 92 Clinton campaign, by, D.A. Pennebaker, and it follows Carville and Stephanopoulos, et cetera. And it paints such a great romantic picture of the political circle and of the D.C., that sort of community, that group of folks, in the sense that you get the feeling that at the end of the day, like, they're all, everybody's drinking at the same bar, Republicans are on one side and Democrats are on the other, and it's that great movie moment where, like, the opponents are, like, you know, raising the glass and toasting to each other, you know, across the restaurant before doing battle again the next day and so forth, and you get the feeling that D.C.'s a town where even people who don't get along, they all kind of drink together at the end of the day. Is that true at all?
There's a little bit of that. There definitely is some of that. I think that's in your higher levels of politics. I think there is some of that. Right now, there's probably not a lot because it's campaign season and everyone is working 18-hour days. But I think during recess, I think when there's time in between, you do see that among the guys who have been here a long time. They all know each other. The ones who kind of know the deal, know the rules of the game, the ones who respect each other, I think they do, in fact, buy each other shots on occasion.
That's so great. See, that's the best answer. I don't even care if you, even if you're lying to me, I don't care. Because you've preserved the image that I have in my head. So,
the interns, however, not so much part of that.
Well, and it is sort of an old school thing, but like,
right.
Like one can't really imagine Rick Santorum doing this, for example. But you know,
no, I don't. You never know in Washington, but I'm with you. I don't have that picture in my head either. But his staffers may.
No,
very high likelihood that his staffers do, in fact, fraternize.
No, in fact, when I picture Rick Santorum in his private life, all I can somehow picture is him with little barrettes in his hair wearing something pink. I don't know why.
No idea. I'm not putting that image in my head at all.
Well, just work on it. Just as this was sort of coming across, you were talking about how Bush acknowledged yesterday that the CIA has been operating and he never used... he was very careful not to use the word secret prisons, but clearly information you have that you're very careful never to reveal to anybody else is, by definition, a secret. So these are secret prisons and use, quote, alternative interrogation methods, but he said that they were safe and legal. So you probably touched on this yesterday, but what are alternative interrogation methods?
Well, we don't know, do we? That's the issue. And we know that accepted interrogation methods are things like, and the Defense Department mentioned these yesterday, good cop, bad cop. You know, those kinds of things are actually written into now the Army Field Manual. There are 19 accepted interrogation practices for use by the military. But these particular prisoners were not being held by the military, but by the CIA. And the CIA does not have to go in accordance with this military handbook. They can use other alternative interrogation methods, and the bottom line is, I could speculate all I want, but the bottom line is we just don't know what that means.
Tim Riley is just handing me this. So there is apparently the revised Army Field Manual, which I guess this is not necessarily the same thing the CIA follows, though, right? CIA has their own playbook?
Exactly.
Yeah.
CIA does not have to follow that. That is only for the military. All branches of the service must follow that. But it is not for the CIA.
And apparently, even though this is not something that follows under the aegis of the CIA, the Army Field Manual prohibits such things as forcing a detainee to be naked, depriving them. Placing hoods or sacks over their head, the conducting mock executions, all of this, depriving them of water, all of this stuff. And the creepy thing about this is, apart from the obligatory picture of that guy wearing like a cloak and a hood standing in a box that we've all seen a million times, the other creepy thing is, when you read that these specific interrogation techniques are prohibited, these aren't specific interrogation techniques that just sort of ended up in this book by happenstance. Clearly the indication is that this is just sort of where the minds of certain folks in the military have gone in the past, which then resulted in this.
Well, if you read that list, too, I think what stands out is that list, item for item, pretty much, is correspond to photographs from Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
Talking about you cannot put a hood over a prisoner's face, you can't interrogate them using dogs, you can't force them to be naked, you can't electrically shock them. These are all things that were implied in those photos. And there are a couple that weren't, but for the most part, these are all from related to those allegations coming out of Iraq, you know, and of course the military is not saying that it's a response to that, but if you look at it, they clearly all, you can draw a clear straight line back to Abu Ghraib.
And the whole thing, especially because, as we mentioned yesterday, because the CIA not only has, you know, not only are they powerful, but they're also mysterious, which of course is just another form of intimidation, the fact that they are this sort of specter-like organization. And so the whole thing just fills me with just this really, and this is the worst kind of anger, and I've talked about this in the past, this really sort of, this impotent, for sort of futile, angry feeling, where the idea that these horrible things are happening, presumably in our name, or at least funded by our tax dollars, and there's nothing you can do about it, because unless I am wrong somehow, I mean, is it a fair statement to say that the CIA really, in a real politics situation, as Henry Kissinger would say, is really answerable to no one on this?
It's true. I think there's two levels here. There's one for what, one level of what this does mean to America's image, and already, of course, there's been so much damage to America's image by these photos from Abu Ghraib, by these accusations about these secret CIA facilities. You know, so the damage to the American image is one level. But then on the other level is this issue of what's right. What is the right thing to do in this situation? You know, for example, in some of these interrogations, we know it's an accepted technique that the interrogator doesn't have to say I'm with the CIA or that they're even with the United States. They can be pretending to be from another country, to be someone else altogether, perhaps pretending to be a fellow prisoner. You know, so it's not clear that in all of these cases, right from the start, that the prisoners know who actually has them, that it is the United States. So then you get beyond that image issue and you get to this question of, what is the right tactic and how do you balance trying to get information from these guys with doing the right thing, and then how do you balance that with our image and these guys who may be innocent, may be let go, telling people that the United States is a brutal, in some cases, some Muslims say evil country. So all of those things are coming to a head right on this issue.
And just as a final observation here, because this is so much of what this seems to revolve around, everything sort of gets boiled down into these O'Reilly-esque talking points at this at this time in American culture, and so it becomes really difficult to understand what the truth of this actually is. So what we hear the last couple of days over and over again is that it kind of, they use this hideous phrase, this phrase that I hate, because it implies that there's something sort of like unfair or wrong about it. They said, well, these prisoners are just going to be lawyering up. The prisoners are going to be lawyering up and suing. And it's like that phrase has been thrown around so much over the last day or two that I don't even really understand what we're talking about at this point.
Yeah, I think you're in the boat with a lot of people. And you hear that here in Washington. You do get a sense people are just throwing these cliches out there, and they don't even have to back them up with really substance. They can throw them out there as an idea, like stay the course or change in direction,
right,
all those things. But what does that mean exactly? They're not having to say necessarily unless we hold them to it.
All right. Well, there you go. So that's today's pick-me-up and so forth. All right. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. We will talk to you very soon, my friend. Have a good day. Take care of that throat.
All right. I'm working on it.
All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. All right. And you've coated up.
I look like a freak.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get all overly serious with her. The whole thing just makes me so... The thing, it just pisses me off. And it's creepy. It's creepy. That's the thing. I don't want to sit and be a big buzzkill. And there's all kinds of stuff we're going to get to. And, you know, we don't talk about this. This is not a heavy political program. This is not some hideous, bitter, left-wing, aged, deadhead program where we sit and talk about, you know, whatever, and political conspiracy theories and just drone on endlessly about crap no one cares about. But here's the thing. This whole thing about these, and I mean, I hate to admit this picture, and it's one they've got in USA Today. You know this picture. It's the Wicked Witch of the West picture, where they've got that guy, that prisoner at Abu Ghraib, where he's standing in a box, and he's got like a cloak and a hood on, and it's like full-on V for Vendetta stuff. And it's just the creepiest thing. And as she noted, when they have this booklet that says, by the way, you're not allowed to put duct tape over their eyes, beat them, use electric shocks, burn them, dunk them underwater in manner of Salem witch trial, conduct mock executions, or keep them from drinking water for many days. That's not a list that you arrive at accidentally. That's a list that you arrive at. You know, that's like when a memo comes out at CBS that, like, there's to be no drinking of orange juice near electronic equipment. You know? I should actually say Fisher, which is where that happened. I remember Mike Everhart had to put out a whole, don't drink any orange juice in the control room. And that came about because someone who I will not name.
You've already named him before.
Chuck Knopf. Was consuming orange juice near the board, spilled it into the board, and thought, you know, I'll just leave for the weekend and let that fix itself. And by the way, note to just engineering students, that does not fix itself. And so, but when you see rules like that, they come from a very specific place. So, and the, just, it's creepy. That's the whole reason that it makes me so angry, and it is... And I don't think I'm engaging in hyperbole here, but it is exactly that image that you see in so many movies, not just V for Vendetta, which we talk about a lot these days, but the, you know, all of the Orwell stuff and the Handmaid's Tale stuff and, you know, the image of like the government van coming and like they're sticking you in the back and there's a hood over your head and then they're just beating you with a brick for the next 6 months in jail. And the whole thing just freaks me out. So, anyway, it's 503. I'm not going to, I'm sure there'll be lots more excuses to talk about torture in the future. It's 503-733-2970. Sarah looks fantastic right now. Here's the best part about this outfit, and I don't mean this in a creepy way.
I look like I'm not wearing a shirt.
You look nude. You look like a flasher. And here's what here's what's happening right now. Sarah Dillon, so she came in wearing, not anything low cut, but a t-shirt that has sort of a low neckline on it. And so not exposed arms and so forth. And it's a little chilly in the studio. So Sarah's sitting there doing that thing of like rubbing herself for warmth like that Nepalese caveman. And she's like, I'm so cold. And as a holdover from, I believe, March, when we were first here, Sarah had a coat hanging in the back of the studio on a coat rack. And I said sort of jokingly, put on your coat. And she's like, I can't put on the coat or look stupid. And so I was talking to Lisa Goddard. I look over. Sarah, wearing the coat. So Sarah's not sitting. But here's the great thing about it is Sarah's shirt is low cut enough that now that she... And it's like a... It's not a trench coat, but it's like a...
It's like a tweed. I don't know. I got it in London.
It's like a top coat.
Yeah.
So Sarah's wearing a top coat, but her t-shirt is actually low cut enough that it just looks like she's nude. It looks like she's a flasher, which is great. A flasher or like homeless or like one of those women who rides the TriMet sometimes. You're not really sure what's underneath the coat and what's not.
But you want to find out?
Well, okay. Well, not with people on the max.
Okay.
It's 503-733-297. Attention, Laura Klein. I was also not implying that I would like Sarah Dillon to be nude. That's not a thing I would do. Just put that in my file, that I was not advocating that. Okay, we got some stuff to get to here. Let's talk to Chris. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Dude, tell me you got a load of Sarah Dillon's replacement this morning.
No, are you talking about the Australian chick on Coin?
It was unbelievable. You know, I was getting ready to leave the house about 6, and I decided to tune into Traffic and Weather together on the 6s.
Such a tool. Okay.
This Lynn Houston character saying, we've got a log jam in Gladstone. Let's go to the whatever traffic girl. And she comes on there, and no lie, she says, yes, it's true. We've got quite a Jimmy Jam jam at the Gladstone exit on I-405.
Really?
Dude, it's ridiculous. I'm begging you to get audio of that. She called it a Jimmy Jam jam on the I-205 Gladstone exit. And then it goes to this weather guy who I don't know who he is, but he looks so uncomfortable. He says, I believe a Jimmy Jam jam in English means a very big mess.
Isn't a Jimmy Jam Jam that thing that they have in House Party 2?
I got no idea. There used to be a producer named Jimmy Jam, but for her to refer to
a rolled-over
truck as a Jimmy Jam Jam.
A Jimmy Jam. Yes, we've got a Rhythm Nation 1814 on the... It's okay, we had talked about... Now, let me ask you this, Chris. Then, did you watch Coin 6 this morning? Because we did have a discussion about her yesterday. Is that why you tuned in?
I have not tuned into that show since Sarah Dillon left and Mark Ronchetti, and I tuned in this morning specifically because you guys were talking about it yesterday.
Because I still haven't seen her.
Yeah, so what does she look like?
Yeah, but that's okay. That's Leah. Let's get to the important thing first. What celebrity would you say she most closely resembles?
God, I can't even say celebrity. I know this. We went from absolute eye candy to, you know, maybe 4 beers at 2:30 a.m.
Oh!
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, right?
I know what you're saying. I haven't seen her, but I do know.
I'm gonna start looking for her right now.
But I do know what you're saying.
Jesus. They replaced that Katie Baker, and this that's on there now looks like she's got Samsonite luggage under her eyes. And they go to the. This is what's funny. You asked me what the traffic girl looks like. I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't look at her long enough after she said Jimmy Jam Jam.
She's got a good personality, I'm sure. Jesus God, a Jimmy Jam Jam. You know what? I mean, I hate to say this, but you know what that reminds me of.
Can you guys get audio of that? You've got to play that. It was unbelievable.
I'm sure we can. We could try and find it.
Well, I don't know how we would have that unless somebody happened to TiVo it. But I will tell you right now, if somebody has audio of what is her name?
Jenny Hogan. Hogan.
If Jenny Hogan on Coin 6 this morning, who is Sarah's replacement, saying. We've got a Jimmy Jam Jam. Oh my God.
Got a Jimmy Jam Jam at Gladstone. And then for the weather guy, he just looked like he didn't know what to say. He says, I believe in English that means a very big mess.
Oh, that's genius. Hold on a second, Chris. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Robert.
How you doing?
Hey, do you know what he's talking about here?
Yes, I do. I just happened to turn Coin 6 on this morning.
Well, yeah.
I was just, I don't know. For some reason, I haven't turned it on since Sarah left.
Go figure.
And I was just shocked. I was... rifling to the Coin website as quick as I could to blast them with an email, but I couldn't find a contact to send them an email.
Do you have any idea? Could you describe what celebrity she most closely resembles?
Well, I'm over here at the dog park.
She was not memorable, trust me.
That's just wrong.
And it was like... nothing I've ever heard. She couldn't even read.
Now, but see, here's the thing. Do you suppose that they're doing that? Because everything now is about rock star to be. Do you suppose that that's sort of a Zaira thing, though, where it's like, do you think they're trying to build buzz by having not only an Australian, because you figure she's Australian, she's got the accent, that makes her stand out right there. B, maybe they're trying to get, like, it's like a William Hung thing, where they want someone who is very... not, well, not bad, but I mean, certainly maybe not very polished or traditionally good to kind of get attention, like a whole, maybe they're trying to build like a, did you see that girl on Coin 6 this morning?
I don't know, but it's
repulsive.
It wasn't good.
It's
anyway,
repulsive.
I thought I'd chime in real
All right.
quick.
Thank you, my friends.
You were much better.
All right, Robert, Chris, thank you.
Talk to you later.
All right, there you go. Bye. Thank you, man. All right, there you go. Chris and Robert. Jimmy Jam Jam.
I still need to call her.
All right, I'm sorry. I have to. I have to do it.
Jenny has traffic.
All right. I'm all nervous, but here's my rap. Ahem. All right, you're gonna have a good, good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking, looking at country club, things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad, no, 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 no. Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't gonna be late. So that was your traffic wrap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl, Austin Cavanaugh. Come on, give us a weather boy, give it to us, word.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh boy, Jenny, it's weather guy, by the way. That is something.
Ugh. You know what I never realized until just now?
Huh.
I never, and I know everybody else caught this like a billion times ago, but I never realized that she calls him the weather girl.
Are you kidding me?
Look, there's a lot to
give
be distracted
the weather,
by.
Girl, give it to us.
There's a lot to be distracted by in that song. I'm always, okay, let me ask you this. Worst part of that song to you? Let's listen one more time.
No, Rick.
All right, I'm all nervous, but here's my
rap. I hate to give us the weather boy, give it to us word.
That's what I'm saying.
That is good, awkward. Good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking, looking at country club, things will look pretty good like Robin.
See, what does that even
now
mean?
Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad, no, 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 no. Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't gonna be late. So that was your traffic rap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl, Austin Cavanaugh. Come on, give us a weather boy. Give it to us. Word.
It's right there.
Oh, boy, Jenny, it's weather guy.
That guy,
the
he's
way.
The best. He's really what. That's really what sells it right there, is that final little tag with him at the end. I never noticed that she actually called. I noticed that she says weather girl, but I never put it together in my head that she's actually referring to him. And that's why he said, it's weather guy, by the way. I guess I never, like, I never assembled the whole thing in my head. Yeah, it's that moment when she says, give us the weather boy. It's that boy. I mean, there's something, I mean, the whole thing is bad, but that's sort of like a special isolated, super concentrated chunk of badness right in the middle of the whole thing. Did you find a picture of her?
No, I can't find her. I found
four
some
beers
other ones.
At 2:30 a.m.
You know, the messages she left me, she sounded really nice.
Well, I'm sure she's a jolly person. I'm sure she's got a great, just sweet spirit. Well, she can't, I mean, we're so deep into this, there's no point in trying to be, she can't be hideous, she's on TV.
No.
They don't hire flat on hideous people
to
be on television.
I know that they had said that they were having some difficulty finding people, because some of them didn't have the right look.
Maybe it's a thing of having high def or something. Maybe.
That is honestly one of the reasons why I left.
Oh yeah, you can say every poor.
They're going to high definition probably any time now, because they said within like 4 to 6 months.
Oh, yeah. No, every line, every crack, every pore, every fissure in your face would be visible. Yeah, I mean, it's anybody. I mean, I can't, as bad, like when we did that poker show, which we've talked about, which you should never view. God bless Wild Bills. We should say that we love those guys.
Yes.
They're great. Rick Walker, Shane, all of those guys out there, Tammy, everybody at the Wild Bills, we're big fans of them. But we love that store and those guys and that business. They're fans of the show. We've loved them for a long time. But
the bingo parlor we shot our show in.
But goddamn, man, when Sarah
that
and I.
So sad.
And people probably don't even know. This is why I mentioned people probably don't know what we're talking about sometimes with this. One of those things. This is one of those things we'll have to put in that encyclopedia, Emersonian, whenever we update that. We'll do that maybe next week. But during the unpleasantness 2.0, when we were unemployed the last time. God bless them. Out of the goodness of their hearts, they hired Sarah and I to anchor this local Portland. It's like a World Series of poker, but at a bingo hall in Southeast.
Oh, my God.
It sounds retarded on the face of it that you're talking about. When in a World Series.
It was sponsored by Jer Bear.
No, the Jer Bear guy. The Jer Bear guy. I mean, like, they found sponsors. I mean,
they found.
But it was just such an incongruous mix of.
I know we've got to be, you know.
No,
whatever.
I mean, no. I mean, they're, you know what?
It was a weird experience.
I'm not, and it's nothing about that guy, the Jer Bear guy, and his business or his whatever. It's just, it was incongruous. It just was odd in that, like, here's like the hardcore poker player, you know, whatever, because there's some good poker players in Portland. And it's like the big tough, like Burley, yeah, well, I had pocket bullets, but I went out on the river when he flopped it, you know, whatever. And it's like, here, you know, and so I got the full boat, the aces over queens, and I went all in, and then I went on tilt, and then I'm busted out.
Yeah, and then they're telling me all this, and I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
And then Sarah goes, have a bear. There's like some huge...
That was such a dark time in my life. I cannot talk about this.
Some riverboat gambler-looking guy. And Sarah's like, have a small plush white bear. There you go. Thank you, sir. It just didn't make any sense.
It made no sense.
But my point is... My point is that God love the many sponsors and clients that made that possible, but boy, did it look terrible.
And I got in trouble for making fun of the bear, too, remember?
I don't remember that. I'm trying to block out that whole... Boy, did it look bad.
Why are we talking about this?
Because I'm saying that as bad as I looked on that show, and it was bad, I can't even imagine how bad it would have looked in high def. In high def, it actually would have frightened small children and dogs, I believe. God damn. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley. He's at the Ministry of Truth. We'll return after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rockstar recap on the way. Jim Roop, all of that. You stay there. It's AM 970. Solid State Radio. Word.